ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 7th कैंटो चैप्टर 9 entitled Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 55. Shri Narada Uvacha, evam pralobhyamanopi varair loka pralobhanaihi ekantitvad bhagavati naichhattan asurottamah. Translation: Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of asuras who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj do not aspire for any material benefit at any stage of devotional service. When the Lord was present before Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva did not want to take any material benefit from the Lord. Swamim kritarthosmi varam nayache. As a pure devotee, he could not ask the Lord for any material benefit. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavata bhakti rahai tu gitvai. O my Lord Jagadisha, I do not pray for benediction by which to achieve material wealth, popularity or beauty. My only desire is to serve you. Kindly engage me in the service of the servant of your servant. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 7th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Prahlad pacifies Lord Narasingadev with prayers. Hare Krishna. Today we are celebrating the most auspicious occasion of Narasingha Chaturdashi, appearance of Lord Narasingha Dev to perform his wonderful pastimes in this material world for various purposes. In this very interesting verse, Narada Muni, the spiritual master of Prahlad Maharaj, calls him Asurottama, best of the asuras. Whereas, same Prahlad Maharaj, when he addressed his father, Na sadhu manye asurvarya dehinam. Oh, best of the asuras. So, both are best of the asuras. Prahlad is a Mahajan, Narada Muni is also a Mahajan. And both are addressing, Narada Muni is addressing Prahlad as the best of the asuras. And Prahlad is addressing Hiranyakashipu as the best of the asuras. How do we understand this? It is said elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam that within a garden, a flowering tree attains a very good reputation because of fragrant flowers. If there is a huge forest, if there is even one flowering tree with fragrant flowers, the whole forest is covered by that fragrance and it becomes very attractive. Similarly, in a garden, just like downstairs we have our Vrindavan forest, and there are many plants and trees, but right now there is that one or two kadamba trees, and this is the flowering season. I request after the lecture, if time permits, it's a little late at night or early in the morning, it is actually intoxicating smell, fragrance, very beautiful, wonderful fragrance. It becomes so, even if the lights are off, can't see the trees, but you can get the fragrance and you become so much attracted. The garden compared, garden here is compared to a clan or a dynasty or a family. And the flowering trees compared to a person, and the fragrant flower are compared to the wonderful, glorious qualities. So in a family, when such a personality appears and he becomes the center of attention, but in the same way, if there is a lump of stool lying there, not a very, you know, palatable example, but if it is, then people just walk away from that place. They don't want even to come nearby. Earlier it was like that, this place. It was a dump yard for the local buildings. And a lot of cats would come past stool. So, it all depends upon what is the center of attention. And a whole family, a dynasty is known by that. And generally people identify. For example, if you say Sri Lanka, immediately the first person that comes to mind is. So when you see a Sri Lankan, you're a little careful. You want to study his personality before befriending. Or for example, when you hear of Germany, immediately I'm sure 90% of you have thought of what I have thought of, Hitler. Even before thinking of Mercedes-Benz or BMWs, the first thing is Hitler. Just see the power of one person. Power of one person can completely scar or blemish the reputation of a whole family, a dynasty, or a whole nation, or a whole race. And at the same time, the power of one person can actually glorify, as an, become an ornament to glorify the reputation of a family, dynasty, nation, race, etc. Therefore, it is a great responsibility as a son or a daughter or a disciple that we live a life exhibiting such qualities that whichever family or lineage that we have happened to be connected to, we become an ornament rather than a scar. For example, let's take Srila Prabhupada. This one personality just by his appearance and his connection with the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the whole world knows this Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Earlier it was known maybe in India or more localized in Bengal, not as much elsewhere. Here in Bombay, we didn't know so much about it. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, today the world, Hare Krishna is a household name all over the planet practically. At least everyone knows Hare Krishna. That is the glory of one personality. So human life is a life of great responsibility. To leave a mark, big or small, positive or negative, that's up to us. But that is our service to God. That is the contribution. In fact, if you study different religion of the world, one of the reasons why people want to be disconnected or give up their connection with any religion is not because of the founders, but because of the followers. If you take Christianity, the teachings of Lord Jesus Christ, it's amazing. It's actually inspiring to the heart. But if we see in the followers hypocrisy, substandard religious substandard or fanaticism, it puts off people from that kind of a practice. Or for that matter, Islam, the tenets of that religion may be universal brotherhood and universal godhood, but because of few horrible acts carried out by few people, the whole world, there is a worldwide suspicion and in fact hatred for that particular religion. If you take even Hinduism, if we can call it like that, many people are converting, many people are losing their, you know, connection just because of the activities of few so-called Brahmanas who misused that power, and there was so much hypocrisy seen. And therefore people identify Hinduism with that kind of a caste system or things like that. And therefore we see how it has actually affected. Therefore, it's such a great responsibility on the followers to be responsible, to show that responsibility. Now, what is the nature of a person who is responsible? What is that responsibility? That responsibility is to represent properly through integrity. What do we stand for? Integrity means walking one's talk. Walk your talk. So, at any cost, one should stand for what they represent. At any cost. That means that there is a high price to pay. If we compromise a little, there is so much to gain. While there is so much to lose, apparently, externally, if we remain faithful to the ideals that we stand for. Lose in terms of money, lose in terms of prestige, lose in terms of honor, power. Of course, we lose temporarily, but gain eternally. Whereas, we may win temporarily by compromising, but lose eternally, or even not eternally in the sense, for a substantial period of time. And also, karmically, it is so getting involved. In Hindi, there is a saying, kuch paana hai, to kuch khona hai. Pa kar kuch khona hai, kho kar kuch paana hai. Right? To get something, you have to lose something. Now, what do you want to get and what do you want to lose? Because if you want to get something, you have to lose something. These two choices are very nicely brought out in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Two extreme examples. One, to gain something, he was ready to lose anything. And so also his son. To gain something, he was also ready to lose anything. Just what was their values? One thing is fast, quick, easy, a path of compromise. Another one is very difficult. Nothing great is easy. If you want to achieve anything great, it's not easy. In history, we see great souls who lived by their ideals, along with, even with such risk of that they would lose everything. There were tests, there were temptations, there were distractions. But they stood up to that. And they are like the fragrant flowers. And they have given so much meaning and hope to the people at large. Very interesting. We call our school Gopal's Garden. It was explained to us why that name was given. It's like Krishna's garden, and each of the children there are compared to a flower. So, depending on what kind of fragrance we emit. Actually, in one sense, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is Krishna's Gopal Garden. And all of us are getting trained up. We are schooled under the wonderful teachers in the line. And like followers, it is great responsible on our part. What will we do with it? So, we are going to today read about one such great fragrant flower, the best in the clan of the Asuras. In spite of the fact that the Asuras did so much nonsense, just one great fragrant flower there practically counteracts all of that just by remembering the wonderful qualities of this personality. That was Prahlad Maharaj. Can you imagine what he had to lose? All he had to say was Jai Hiranyakashipu. That's all. It just meant that. Once just say Jai Hiranyakashipu. Finished. He would have gained the whole universe. Control. What kind of control he would have gained if he had just acknowledged and agreed to his father's proposal. Any of us can't imagine what he had to, what he would gain if he had compromised little instead of Jai Sri Hari, said Jai Hiran, chhod, kya farak padta hai? Theek hai, usko khush karna hai bas. I will use it in Krishna's service. He could have said that. Of course, if he had said that, he wouldn't have died. Hiranyakashipu wouldn't have died, of course. Because he had, you know, nobody would have come and killed. If Prahlad was not tormented, Hiranyakashipu wouldn't have died at all. It got such benedictions. Ayuhu shriha yasho dharmam loka shisha evacha. By tapasya, ayuhu, his lifespan, ayuhu, yasha, what kind of fame, dharma, loka, achieving higher planets, he practically went up. Even while living, what to speak of after death, while living he went up and he was occupying practically everything. Ashish, benedictions, he had so much benedictions of Lord Brahma, etc. But everything was lost when he misused it. What could have Prahlad gained had he just compromised a little? What an amount of power, what an amount of prestige, what honor, what respect, what wealth. But Prahlad, he just couldn't think of anything else. Absolutely no compromise. The amount of... actually, how did he gain? Not only that, it was a question of losing his life, if the life threat. And they actually tried to kill him in so many ways. Creative ways. No one has ever thought of creative ways of killing someone than Hiranyakashipu and his followers. Amazing. Some creative ideas if you want to kill people. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. No one can think of all these creative ways. They tried practically all ways. He learnt in the womb of his mother from his guru, Sri Narada Muni. And he inscribed it in his heart. And that was his value system that he had set up. So, today we would like to read a few of his beautiful prayers. Why did we choose the prayers? I would like to tell you also some personal reason. Many years, practically every year, just before Narsingh Chaturdashi, I would decide that we should read Bhagavatam 7th canto. And for many years, I am a very slow reader. When I read something, I try to, you know, ruminate over it and relish it, then go to the next one, then, you know, very slowly. And I would start approximately a month or 15 days before the Narsingh Chaturdashi. And I would begin with the first, there are 10 chapters. This is one of the longest, next only to Krishna book, 10th canto. One of the longest chapters, or 10 chapters, in practically the 3/4 of 7th canto. So I would begin, how God is equal to everyone, then Hiranyakashipu, liberation of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu's, it terrorizes the universe. And by the time those 3 chapters are over, Narsingh Chaturdashi would come, I would hear the lecture. Next year again start. And after many years I thought that always I read about Hiranyakashipu, never about Prahlad. So one time I started reading from the Prahlad Maharaj's glories and his teachings. That was last year, last 2 years. Then teachings were there and I said then his prayers. So this time I started with prayers. And I'd like to share some thoughts with those prayers. Also, prayers, hearing the prayers of these exalted personalities gives a glimpse into what is their consciousness, what are their emotions, what is the love in their heart. It's like they are relishing immense nectar. Bhakti rasa amrita sindhu. It's like ocean of nectar, relationships with the Lord that they are sharing in different ways. And they never, of course, expose it for name and fame. But sometimes the Lord appears and extracts from their heart these prayers, where he asks them to glorify him. And then when the devotee starts glorifying the Lord, what they are relishing every day, what they are drinking, a few drops spill out. Each of these words that they sing, that they speak out, is like a drop of the ocean of nectar, of loving exchanges that they are relishing with the Lord. And therefore, even this one drop is enough to drown us. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu bindu. It's like one bindu of the sindhu that they are. But this bindu is enough to help us cross bhava sindhu. Even one verse, if you can relish, if we can relish and try to understand the depth of nectar containing one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, rasamalayam, it's actually nectar, ocean of nectar. Muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka. But the search, those who are very expert of after searching for nectar, they know what to relish. They can drown in this. One of the drops of this ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna extracts this to show the glory of these great souls. Why he is captivated by these great souls? How would we know? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole Mahaprakash Leela is all about this. What is Mahaprakash? Mahaprakash means the great revelation. In Mahaprakash, what did Mahaprabhu reveal? He revealed his love for his devotees. He told every one of them, I am sold out to you, to your love. You can sell me where you want. I have been captivated in your heart. I am captured. I am bound in your heart. He revealed his love for his intimate associates. And he also revealed their hearts by asking them to glorify him. And asking them, ask anything boon you want. And when the Lord asked them to ask for any boons, what did they ask for shows what they really valued in their lives. Which shows what is really to be valued if you want to capture the Lord within our heart. That love, that selfless love, only desire to please the Lord, to serve the Lord. The Lord is actually bound by such a love. So we really learn what is to be aspired for in life. How do you know? There are 4 lakh species of humans. Who is the most advanced? How do you know? Advancement is not judged by if he has a tie and suit and boot. Advancement is known by what is a person's aspiration. That decides how great or how insignificant or how small is he. How broad-minded or how small-minded. How great or how small. Just what is your aspiration? That determines the actual nature of a person. And Paramahamsa Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam, talks about these great personalities. And by reading, we actually know what we should be aspiring for. That is the reason I thought we should speak about this.
So I'm going to just not go, of course, to all the details, but just few which brings out the qualities of this great fragrant flower, the best of the Asuras, in the clan of the Asuras. Now, the situation is, the Lord has appeared from the pillar and destroyed Hiranyakashipu. Anger personified. When the Lord wants to do something, no one can actually do anything higher than that. When he wants to become a devotee, no one can become a higher devotee than him. Mahaprabhu exhibiting Mahabhav. No devotee can ever exhibit. Similarly, when he exhibits anger, maha anger, very difficult to cool him down. When a person is angry, no one wants to go in front of him. Even the beloved ones keep little distance. Abhi nahi, baad mein. Prabhupada, when he came to Vrindavan with a desire to, you know, inaugurate the temple, and it is written there, if you read that pastime, it was like a construction site. Nothing was done. And Prabhupada was so angry. Nobody dared even cross in front of his eyesight. Everyone would hide somewhere here and there. But some of them had to face him. And after that, he went off, and then even in the room for the whole day, anyone who went near him got the chastisement. He was slightly pacified when he came to know that the invitations are not sent. He thought that invitations are already sent. No, invitations are not sent. Not sent. But why didn't you send? Again, chastise that also. So he was so angry. It took already, you know, like some time for him to really cool down. So here was Lord Narsingadev, tolerating the inconveniences to Prahlad, to little Prahlad. Till a point he was absolutely not able to tolerate. And that was the time he just burst out of the pillar. And he was so angry. All the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, headed by these two, all the great demigods, they were offering so many beautiful prayers. Yes, my Lord, thank you so much. Cool down, it's all right. Thing is done. And the anger is so, when a person is angry, it's like, it's not just killing someone. After killing, he wants to cut it to pieces. Because you're not satisfied the person is dead. You want to separate the eye, you know, every part of the body. So Lord was so angry, he was dead. With one slap is enough, finished. But the Lord was not, he tore him open and took out all the intestine and turned him around. Still his anger didn't go away. Roaring and like fire emanating. All these demigods are praying, but nobody dared even come near him. From a distance they were making prayers. Ultimately they turned to Lakshmi Devi. They said, you know your husband and his moods. By Leela Shakti of the Lord, even she dared not come. She said, I can't relate to him in this mood. I've never seen him in this mood. Never. And at that time, all of them together requested Prahlad. Prahlad, you go. Only you can pacify the Lord. Now, can you imagine if some devotee here, all the GBCs come and stand and say, Prabhu, all of us are not able to achieve this project. Only you can do it. Only you. We are convinced only you can do this. And it will have a revolutionary effect on this planet. Well, I'm not proud, but if you want me, Krishna wants to use me as an instrument. By your blessings and mercy, of course, but I know no one else, so I shall do it. Invariably, there will be some amount of pride. Absolutely, there's no question that there will be no pride. no one else has been able to do. And this little child desire, all the demigods are standing. We can't do it. Only you can do it. And if there was even a tiny fragment of pride in Prahlad, Lord Narsingdev would have detected it. Bahe Narsingha, Hriday Narsingha. He's situated in the core of your heart. He knows. But Lord Narsingha knew fully well that this boy is absolutely not touched by this situation. In his humility, there is no change. As we were discussing this morning, in the morning class, it is a natural humility. Arising out of realization that God is ultimately the doer of everything. Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam, shrimad urjitam evava, tatta deva avagachattvam, mamatejomsh sambhavam. Absolutely, there is no question of my taking any credit. Absolutely. He says, how is it possible for me, born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead if great personalities couldn't satisfy him? Then what to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. Actually, Prahlad felt that I am not at all qualified. My qualification is the request, the order of these great souls. And also, I have heard from my Guru Maharaj that the Lord, even though very angry, has affection for his devotees in his heart. He was not bewildered by the externals. He saw through the ears of his Guru Maharaj's words. This was his faith. I don't understand this mood. I've never seen, of course, anything like this. But I have heard from my Guru that the Lord is very affectionate to his devotees. Therefore, he didn't bother about the externals. Knowing the heart of the matter, he ran, fell at the feet of the Lord, offered dandavats. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, a Vaishnava fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. This is the first quality which actually attracted the Lord to appear. Can you imagine one avatar for 1 5-year-old boy? The Lord from the spiritual world descended just to satisfy 1 5-year-old boy. The Lord became the servant. Krishna, as Govind Prabhu was discussing very nicely this morning, Krishna is all attractive. Like iron filings, everyone is attracted to a powerful magnet unless we are rusted. But Sri Krishna Karshani Chasa, bhakti, the power of devotion, is so powerful that the iron filing becomes so attractive that the supreme magnet, Krishna, is attracted and descends from the spiritual world like a servant. Hiranyakashipu, where is your Lord? Is he there in the pillar? Yes, he is there in the pillar. Just to prove that word right, the Lord appeared. So Prahlad could have said, now you know the power of my word. He could have become proud. I said it and just see. He says, later in another beautiful prayer, he says, it is because of the word of Narada Muni that he has appeared. What was the word of Narada Muni? When Prahlad was in the womb of his mother, Hiranyakashipu had gone out and the demigods captured Kayadu and she begged Narada. Narada protected her. Took her from from the captive of these demigods, brought him to his ashram. At that time, Kayadu requested, said, please give your blessings that my child is given all protection. And Narada Muni said, I give a promise. It's my word that anyone who is inimical to this child will be killed, but he will be protected in all situations. That is the reason. Because my father was about to kill me and Narada had promised to Kayadu, therefore the Lord appeared. It's Narada's words. Tava bhritya bhashitam. Of course, we also understand it was Brahma's word. Brahma had promised. And the Lord had to kill, but he had to come in such a way that he kept the word of. Plus, he had to keep Arjuna's word in the Bhagavad Gita. Because he had told Arjuna, declare it boldly. Kaunteya pratijani name bhakta pranashati. Then Arjuna will say, my Lord. Actually, he had to protect Hiranyakashipu's word also. In one particular verse, I think in one particular chapter, he says, this fellow seems to become immortal. He seems to be so unlimitedly powerful that none of my punishments is even making him afraid. Therefore, I am afraid that my constant enmity with him will actually result in my death. Krishna said, Tathastu. You are my dear devotee, Jai. In Vaikuntha, your word shall also be kept up. So his enmity cost him dearly. So in this way, of course, Prahlad was not at all feeling proud. He was humility personified. And Prabhupada explains, unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. We see it in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I'm lower than Jagai and Madai. Anyone who chants my name will lose all prize credits. Kunti Devi, she's seeing the Lord, she says, Katam Pashyame Histriya. I am an unintelligent woman. How can I know you? And she's praying that you are Tatha Parama Prakrite Paraha. She never feels that she's qualified. The more humble we are, the more we realize how far away from humility we are. The more humble we become, the more we realize how far away. So should we act humble or not? If we act, it is hypocrisy. Actually, it's hypocrisy. We are not humble. But we have to act humble. What to do? But imitation of a good thing is okay. But at heart, we should never feel we are humble. He is so humble that he is very proud of it. That I am the most humble. We are the most nothing. We are actually insignificant. But what is the nature of that humility? How does it actually manifest? There was one statement I read. Humility means to not think less of oneself, but think of oneself less. To not think less of oneself. No, I am so fallen. I, not you, only I am so fallen. So, it's not thinking less of oneself, but thinking of oneself less. And thinking more of the Lord. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Who can do it? Trinadapi Sunichin. Who knows? Why should I speak anything about myself? Whatever is something good is seen, it's basically the mercy of the Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Tattenu kampam sushamikshamana. Haridvag vapur bhir vidadha namaste. Jivetayo muktipade. That person is actually realized. That person is humble, knowing that actually I'm insignificant. So this is the first qualification, such wonderful quality, which makes Prahlad like a fragrant flower in a garden. The second quality that Prahlad exhibits is very, very deep faith and conviction. If we can have even a drop of that conviction and faith, probably we will make great advancement, or at least we will become highly fixed up in devotional service and not get carried away by the temptations and distractions and the tests that will invariably come in our life. And what is that faith? Firstly, the faith that only devotional service and not anything material can satisfy the Lord. He prays. The next two verses, please read, listen to this. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now," this is the first prayer. Then the second one, he says, Prahlad Maharaj continued, "One may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him." Even if a Brahmana has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words and activities, wealth and life, to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than a Brahmana, because devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmana is in a position of false prestige, cannot purify even himself. Are we really convinced of this fact that only devotional service can actually satisfy the Lord? Nothing else. Sincere endeavor according to one's capacity to glorify the Lord and to purify one's heart. It is actually enough. But in the world, sometimes even in the association of devotees, we generally become envious, or we may become little proud if we know slightly better than someone, any of these qualities little better than someone. We think we are able to satisfy the Lord more, or if someone is able to do something better, then we feel that I am hopeless, I am not able to do that. What is the difference between humility and self-pity? Humility means I have no hope in myself, but I have full hope in the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But humility without understanding of the Lord, you will go into depression. I am so fallen. Even Krishna cannot elevate me right now. Underestimating the power of the Lord and overestimating your fallen nature. So fallen, Krishna also cannot reach me, That is artificial or false or superficial humility. Real humility means hoping against hope. I have absolutely no quality, but that Krishna can do amazing, wonderful things. So this is the faith, that I have no qualification, but on the order of from what I have heard from my guru Narada Muni, I know that this is what actually satisfies the Lord, and therefore I'll just try. So he was seeing through his ears. Ears, the words and ears of faith. He had full faith
in those words.
Another very wonderful quality that Prahlad Maharaj exhibited, in addition to humility and full faith, the same faith and conviction extended, is also what is of value and what is not. Generally in this world, while executing devotional service, sometimes we may get some facilities, we may get some name and fame, we may get some position, we may get some power, etc. And our value system may change. What we give value to. But actually, if we read these two verses, just listen to these two beautiful verses. There are many, but I'm just highlighting a few which actually inspired me, or little intelligence for me to appreciate. O great one, O supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although, this is the thing, this statement, although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. We take shelter of so many remedies to remove our miseries. Of course, we may. But generally, we have faith in those remedies more than the act of devotional service. The only shelter is the lotus feet of the Lord. Any other shelter will eventually make you shelterless. That is what Prahlad told his father. Tat sadhu manye. You ask me what I value, what I have learned is the best knowledge in the sense of truly what is valuable, what is life should be given for achieving. O best of the asuras, let me tell you. Sada samudvigna dhyam. Just see, you have practically got everything that a person can aspire for in this universe. But what is your situation? Sada samudvigna dhyam. You're always in anxiety, my dear father. Why? Asad grahat. You have held on to something temporary, thinking that it will eternally remain with me. And therefore there is anxiety. A child, sometimes we go to chowpati, we see this, you know. Kids want to play with the balloon. They have colorful balloons. And the balloon wala knows exactly how to attract the child. And he takes the balloon and puts some, you know, grains in it. And some sound. And that color and that sound, sight. All of this is very attractive. And he goes and in front of the child he does this. And the child, I want it. And he tells the parents, Mala paijech. I want it. Starts throwing his arms and legs around. Why does the balloon wala doesn't go in front of the parents and shake? He knows. This, they will not be attracted. They will not pay. This kid is foolish. He doesn't understand. He thinks that permanently I'm going to hold this. Tomorrow morning it will become just, you know, soft and if luckily it survives next morning. Otherwise in 2 minutes it bursts. And then the child starts crying. Similarly, this body made up of all the substances that we are very well aware. In Krishna consciousness, some of the first things are taught. Hiranyakashipu preached this. to his family members. But he had no realization of this. Or another word, or another way of understanding this is also that Maya Aparta Jnana, in his desire to lord it over, he said, I'll act smarter than the Lord. I will change the rule. And he wanted to make his body so sada samudvigina dhyam asadgrahat. So therefore, what is of value? He said, devotional service. He said, this is the only thing. And in the next prayer, he says, what he wants. Oh my Lord Narsingadev, knowing fully well that Lord Narsingadev is going to grant him whatever he wants, because he has asked him, ask my child what you want. Oh my Lord Narsingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, Hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. The important point is, he is asking for, he says, Leela katha tava nrsingh anugrinam guna vipramukte. He's asking for three things. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, a devotee's life and duty are very well explained here, by which he can easily anja titarmi. Anjaha, anjaha means very easily titarmi. I'm going to cross over. He says, a devotee's life and duty. What does it mean to say devotee's life? Without this, a devotee is no devotee. He's a dead. A devotee's life and duty is explained. He asks for three things. Number one, Leela katha tava nrsingh anugrinan guna vipramukte. By engaging in your transcendental loving service, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of three modes and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship. Devotional service is the real shelter. I was reading a book by Niranjan Maharaj. He's talking about taking care of Krishna's devotees. What do you mean by taking care of, what do we mean by taking care of Krishna's devotees? What can we take care? What can we do? We ourselves are drowning. What can we do? So what does it really mean to take care of devotees? Taking care of devotees means there are two things. Leela katha tavan nrsingh anugranan guna vipramukte. And the second thing, te padayugalaya hamsa sangha, in the association of devotees who are liberated souls. If you really want to take care of some devotee, somehow inspire him to come in the association, stay in the association of devotees and engage in devotional service. These are the two things. Real shelter. Because association of devotees, you can experience the presence of Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet. Yatra gayanti mad bhakta, tatra tishthami narada. Machitta mad gata prana. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. They derive true satisfaction. And engagement in devotional service. Because bhakta, bhagavan and bhakti are eternal things. Everything else is temporary. So really, if you want to take care of devotees, you have to give them spiritual shelter. And that shelter means engagement in devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam. In the association of devotees. Because you can't perform devotional service without the association of devotees. Gradually you lose interest. It's not possible. And giving them, this is spiritual shelter. And to come to the shelter and to remain in that shelter, we need strength. And strength comes from, that is in the next one, Virincha Gita. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma in the disciplic succession. Following the orders of the instructions coming in the disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada said, if you follow my instructions, I shall kick Maya with my boots. Don't worry. You will have the strength to stand against the onslaughts of Maya. The instructions are so powerful because it's the instruction of the Lord. The strength comes from instructions and the shelter comes from engagement in devotional service in the association of sincere devotees. Prahlad Maharaj has realized this is the only shelter and this is the only strength. Therefore he says, I simply want to engage in your devotional service of hearing, chanting your glories, my Lord, in the association of Hamsas. Hamsa means those who are in the world but not of the world. They have realized what is heart of the heart. They are untouched by all this materialistic association. And I want to hear your instructions. In that association, I want to get these instructions. Because those instructions give me the strength. It's a fact. Right? When we chant, because of that we can say no to the four principles, etc. Otherwise, we see that we are not able to reject. Very difficult to fight when these kind of tests come, unless you take shelter of these instructions. So faith in this spiritual shelter coming from association and devotional service, and strength coming from following those instructions. And really taking care of devotees means this. If you have, whether you call it counselor, counselee system, or mentor, mentee, as they call it in London, or you call it Bhakti Vriksha, or whatever you call it. The purpose, a system whereby devotees are given instructions according to, you know, situation and time and personal love and care, in which they're inspired to engage in devotional service of hearing and chanting and remain in the association of sincere devotees in whatever way possible. That is really taking care. Otherwise, who are we to take care? How can we take care? So therefore, Prahlad is actually praying this. This is the faith. He asks only for this because he sees this is of real value. Also, Prahlad Maharaj says elsewhere, Yan maithunadi grahame edi sukham hituchham. He's convinced that anything else is not of value. It's tucham. Tucham means insignificant. Tejas Prabhu said, when Prabhupada would give lecture in Hindi, he couldn't understand anything, but he understood two sentences which Prabhupada would repeat often. Bhagwan mahan hai aur hum tuch hai. And the way he would say tucha, it means he realized that it's something very, very insignificant. Yan maithunadi grahame edi sukham tucham. Convinced that any other promises by Maya to become happiness, however big propaganda it may be, however the propaganda may convince you otherwise, you know that it's all insignificant. Jayadvait Maharaj was giving a lecture in Soho Street, London, about this particular incident. He said, with some Gurukul people, Gurukul, ex-Gurukulis, he went to a park and they announced in that park there is a hot spring that comes up. So they have advertised, you know, people come from all over America to that park and pay a lot of money to just watch the hot spring. And such big advertisement, people pay a big amount and come, and there is some huge stadium like built around that water spring. Stadium like, and chairs and all, natural, organic, built up like this. And people were sitting and they have written the time, 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock or something like that. It comes at regular intervals. So 3 hours before, people reserve their seats and everyone is watching, you know. Fingers crossed and now. And their countdown, half an hour to go, 25 minutes, 20, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, and everyone is like that. And there is a sound, and the water starts coming for about 30 seconds, about 3 feet high. And after 30 seconds, it just... Even Dharavi people, when there is a leakage in the pipe, see better fountain. The bigger the pipe, and they break it, actually, they see fantastic fountain than this. And they're watching like this, and suddenly it goes off, and everyone looks at the other, absolutely disappointed. But they don't want to, they want to hide their disappointment because they have paid so much. They have come with camera and all that. So therefore, they start telling, "Kya tha na? Amazing." Ah. And they're photographing and all that. What Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati called five paisa circus. Five paisa circus. You went inside, you got beaten up, got disappointed. Why should you tell others? You go and say, "Don't miss it. If you miss this, you miss something in life." Tucham. Big sensation created. 2000 millennium new year is the same day, same sunrise. What's so big deal if you're doing puna puna charvita charvanana? Unless you do something, unless you do devotional service, that day, that sunrise is actually a memorable day. That sunrise, because that sunrise will never sun. There is no setting of that sun. Otherwise, ayu harti vai pamsan udyan astana yannasau. So, the day we got connected to devotional service, that day, that sunrise is really worth celebrating. Otherwise, what is big deal to celebrate? Recently, I was in Mysore. We were driving. And the boy was, actually the devotee was driving. He said, "Prabhuji, Mysore is not at all developed. Because nice bungalows, big lawns, gardens in front of each house, small streets, very less traffic, and a lot of trees. Bolta hai, Mysore na Bangalore jaisa bhi develop nahi hua." I said, "What do you mean by development? Tell that it is not yet degraded. Do you think huge malls come and that is development? Now it is developed. You walk inside and, you feel really, wow, old crows and new crows," as Srila Prabhupada said. If you go in London, everyone is walking to the malls and nothing exciting about it. But here, you just dress up and it's like a festival to go there and just kind of relish. But so impersonal. At least you would visit shops. I remember when I would go to purchase something in the shop from my house, there was a personal conversation, so personal relationship with the shopkeeper. He knew our whole family. Any guest who came, he said, "Today that guest has come to your house." Yeah. Very, very personal relationship. He knew what we liked. He would give it sometimes as a gift. Rather, you just walk into such an impersonal situation. So anyway, there's a big propaganda creating things of value. But Prahlad Maharaj here is convinced through hearing what is of real value. Another thing is full conviction that all our endeavor should only be to attract the causeless mercy of the Lord. That is explained in one beautiful prayer. I would like to just read that. He says, "O my Lord, O Supreme, Because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your hand, lotus hand, upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. This is another very interesting thing. Prabhupada explains that na brahmano natu bhavasya navai ramayam yanmer pita shirasi padmakarah prasadah. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone regardless of his position in this material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead irrespective of his material position. How is a devotee more fortunate than Lakshmiji? Prabhupada explains, although Lakshmiji, constant companion of Supreme Personality of Godhead, although Lakshmiji is the constant companion, he is more inclined to his devotees. That is, devotional service is so great that when it is offered even by those born in low families, the Lord accepts it as being more valuable than service offered by Lakshmiji. It's more dear to him than the service offered by Lakshmiji. Once Loknath Maharaj was giving a class and he mentioned a very nice point. He said Lakshmiji, he was talking about how Lakshmiji could not gain entry into Braj, Vrindavan. She's still performing austerity in Bilvavan. And ultimately, the Lord accepted her as the Shivatsa on his chest. Lakshmiji got a position on the Lord's chest. But the gopis have got a position in his heart. More closer. Sadhu hridayo mahyam sadhu naam hridayam toham. So she got a position on his chest, but the devotees got a position in their heart, in his heart. More closer, more intimate, more loving. How better than the demigods? Brahma, Indra, etc. on upper planets are situated in different spirit of consciousness. Therefore, they are sometimes troubled by demons. But a devotee, even if situated in lower planets, enjoys life in Krishna consciousness under any circumstance. Put him in Swarga, Naraka, or Apavarga. Apitulyartha Darshana. Narayana Parasarve. He's not all fearful. The demigods become fearful. When Hiranyakashipu had occupied all this power, they were all scared. They were afraid. They started hating him. They were praying that he be destroyed. But amazing, right under his nose was Prahlad, absolutely unconcerned, untouched. In fact, he was preaching right under his nose while being very respectful to him. He never even prayed that let this fellow be killed. While demigods were scared, they were praying like this, they were hoping like this. This is a devotee. And therefore, such a devotee must be understood to have received special, special causeless mercy, which is unavailable to any one of these great stalwart personalities. And finally, another very wonderful thing that through these prayers, something that comes out is the mood of Narada Muni, of his spiritual master, that Prahlad imbibed. One of preaching at any cost. It's only by a special mercy, very, very special mercy, that the heart of the spiritual master can be understood by a disciple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased when Rupa Goswami wrote that poem in glorification of Lord Jagannath that in madness Lord Chaitanya sang. Nobody other than Swarup Damodar knew it. When Rupa Goswami wrote the purport, How did he understand my heart? He slapped Rupa Goswami out of great love. So how could he understand? Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar said, because he has got your special mercy. When Srila Prabhupada wrote that article, glorification of his Guru Maharaj, and he wrote that special verse, absolute essential, thou has proved impersonal calamity, thou has moved. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so pleased. How this person has captured my heart. How he has understood my mood. He gave him so much blessing and empowered him actually. That he did something unparalleled in the history. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, because he got the mercy and showed his determination, his devotion and his dedication, he could understand the mood of Narada Muni. And we see it in about four prayers. I would like to conclude with this. My dear Lord, you are always transcendently situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now, kindly look upon us. This word is very important. Kindly look upon us. Not only upon me, but also upon all the others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. So Prabhupada writes in that purport one very significant point, and that is, he says, Bhajanandis worship the Lord only for their own personal benefit, but Goshtyanandis, or those who are preachers, try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a devotee to preach Krishna consciousness and ordered all to be a guru and preach. Next he says, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to person like us who engage in your service. And then one of the most important verses, which also brings the mood of Srila Prabhupada. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in the thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. And he concludes this particular section by saying, My dear Lord Narasimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. So, in these sections, we actually understand why Prahlad Maharaj was so dear to Lord Narasimhadev. Because he understood the heart of Lord Narasimha. He understood the heart of his pure devotee Prahlad Maharaj, Narada Muni. Because Krishna says in the Gita, one who shares this knowledge with others is more dear to me than anyone else, and no one will be more dear than them. So that is the secret of actually sharing. And in what situation Prahlad preached? First of all, being in the material world is first misery. Second misery is in the association of demoniac people. Absolute demons. And thirdly, one demon trying to destroy you day in and day out. And all because you want to chant Hare Krishna and tell others to chant. But it's amazing how Prahlad, under all these situations and circumstances, never gave up his spirit of preaching. Radhika Raman Prabhu, when he had come recently, he made a very significant point. I said that was, I felt, was kind of the highlight of that seminar that I heard from him. He was talking about the whole education system. He divided into three. Purity is the force. Purity of lifestyle, purity of prasad, purity of worship at home, etc. Then he talked about books are the basis. How Bhagavatam should be basis of our thoughts, words, actions, and all our plan. And then he said, preaching is the essence. And he made a very nice point. He said, why children of devotees, or those who are devotees also, who are new devotees, or even the older ones. He said, why they are not able to, why are they lack an identity? He said, they don't have an identity. Because after coming to Krishna consciousness and understanding the philosophy, you know too much to identify yourself with a materialist. You don't want to identify with people out there who are not understood. But at the same time, we are not bold enough to be seen as or to be identified as devotee. We have identity crisis. And even amongst them, we try to hide ourselves. Hide our bead bag, hide our... He said, why hide? That means you don't want to be identified. He said, in the earliest stage, because of thanks to my mother, she inspired me. I used to start going out to preach to others. And in the process of preaching, my identity as a devotee, I had to defend myself. Because they would ask, why are you a devotee? Then I had to actually deeply think, why am I a devotee? Why should I be a devotee? Then he had to convince. Then had to defend. And in the process of defending, that the satisfaction, the happiness that he derived in giving Krishna to others, and also his own identity as a devotee, increased. And secondly, he said, I became bold and fearless and convinced. Once, I don't know, one of the teenager boy asked, you know, sometimes we are parents, you know, parents, at teenage, there is a tendency to rebel. What to do with it? How to handle this? Parents don't like it, we want to rebel. Something to the effect, what he said was, it's all about enzymes. You know, at that age, it's all about enzymes, which makes you to rebel. But Srila Prabhupada, when he preached to these teenagers, they used that rebelling propensity in the service of Krishna. You want to rebel? Rebel against the whole society, materialistic society. And that means I am a devotee. If you want to be a devotee, that means you are going against the whole society. The whole propensity to rebel, the ultimate perfection, is rebel against materialism. And so these hippies, who anyway wanted to rebel, used that and dovetailed their rebellious nature to boldly rebel against this. So, to develop an identity and also to develop fearlessness, boldness, and the conviction within the heart. Yes, why should I hide? I am a devotee, yes. So wonderful to be a devotee. So nice to be a devotee. And it's also, so Prahlad Maharaj, can you imagine? Right under the nose of the enemy, preaching there, fearlessly. It's amazing. So in this way, these are some of the things. So to utsahat nishchayat dhairyat, we were discussing recently. Nishchayat means faith. Now, faith manifests in two things. Faith manifests in enthusiasm to preach and patience about results. Dhairyat. Mere enthusiasm without faith is the mode of passion. And mere patience without faith is the mode of ignorance, laziness. Kuch hone nahi wala, apne aap Mahaprabhu karenge kuch to. Samay aane do. Samay se pehle kuch nahi hone wala. So, faith, the life of faith, the life of enthusiasm is faith. Because there is faith, there is enthusiasm. And that faith is not, and when that faith is very deep, then there is patience. I done my best. It's up to Krishna. Otherwise, you know, mind is restless. Why is it not coming? Maybe Krishna is not there. Just like the wonderful example that Radhika Raman Prabhu gave, you know, when Prahlad was pushed from the mountain, why Krishna had to wait all the way? This beautiful darshan today. You see, they have already pushed behind all these demons. Why Krishna shouldn't have come and slapped the demons and picked the boy from the hand of the demons? Why did he allow the demons to push? And why were they falling and falling and falling and falling till the last moment of the... Why did Lord allow Hiranyakashipu to torture Prahlad for such a long time? Why didn't he kill in the first day? Of course, for us, to teach us many lessons. He said it is a faith-building exercise. He's falling. Krishna, I know nothing is going to happen. Krishna, I know nothing is going to happen. But something should happen. And it's not happening. Krishna, I'm falling. Come on. I hope you're there. And last moment, and then you feel so bad. Why did I doubt? Why did I doubt Krishna? So it's like sometimes Krishna knows each one's level, tests them. So these are some thoughts. So on this wonderful, auspicious day, we can make a very nice prayer to Lord Narasingadev. Beg the Lord for the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, which actually can capture the Lord into our heart. Vyavasayatmika buddhi, personification of that was Prahlad. We can pray for that integrity, pray for that humility, faith and conviction, knowing that devotion is the only way, truly valuing association of devotees, devotional service, and instructions of the Guru in Parampara. Depend on mercy, all our endeavor to simply receive the mercy of the Lord and understand the mood of the great Acharyas and try to serve them. And of course, I can also pray to the Lord to remove all our limitations and shortcomings arising due to anarthas demonstrated by the personification of Hiranyakashipu. భోగైశ్వర్య ప్రసక్తానాం తయా అపహృత చేతసాం వ్యవసాయాత్మిక బుద్ధి సమాధౌన విధీయతే. హీస్ పర్సానిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ దట్ వర్డ్స్. వై వి ఆర్ నాట్ బికమింగ్ ఫిక్స్డ్ అప్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ మెనీ అదర్ థింగ్స్ దట్ వీ వాల్యూ ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్. భోగ ఐశ్వర్య ప్రసక్తానాం అటాచ్మెంట్ టు థింగ్స్ అండ్ ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ట్రయింగ్ టు లార్డ్ ఓవర్ అండ్ ట్రయింగ్ టు లార్డ్ ఓవర్ వీ బికమ్ అటాచ్డ్ టు దీస్ థింగ్స్. అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వే ఇఫ్ యూ సిన్సియర్లీ మేక్ ఎ ప్రేయర్ షోర్లీ లార్డ్ నరసింహదేవ్ విల్ ఇఫ్ అవర్ ప్రేయర్స్ ఆర్ సిన్సియర్ అండ్ సెల్ఫ్లెస్ షోర్లీ ద లార్డ్ ఈవెన్ అదర్వైజ్ హీ విల్ ఫుల్ఫిల్ బట్ హీ విషాల్ ఫుల్ఫిల్ I would like to just conclude with how recently I experienced this. Though from what I heard from Govind Prabhu in the morning, we shouldn't be asking the Lord like that, but still I have to share. 2 years back, I went to Melukote, which is in Karnataka and a place near Mysore where beautiful form of Lord Narasimhadeva as Yoga Narasimha is there, where the Lord is supposed to have instructed Prahlad into the science of Dasya Yogam, devotional service. And since my birthplace is also just next, a village next to that, born in the Sri Vaishnava family. So when I went 2 years back, last visit, I just happened to go there and I just prayed. Suddenly this thought came to me and I said, Krishna, and Lord Yogananda Narasimha is supposed to be our family deity. So I said, anyway, those nice prayers I was making for removal of anarthas and developing some nice, I read whole seventh canto. But simultaneously at the end I said, you're supposed to be Yogananda Narasimha. Yoga means to unite. And you're supposed to be our family deity. How I wish all our family members come together and worship you and take shelter of you. And I said, anyway, this not that may not be very good thought. And I just left. And this year, my brother rang up and he said, we are gathering together the whole family, whole dynasty, practically a busload. I said, we have decided to go from Bangalore to Melukote for darshan. Would you like to join? I said, sure. That's what, you know, I said, I'll try. But heart to heart, I was just jumping with joy. So that's exactly what I thought. I had actually forgotten that time, but I went. And we went, we had darshan. And after darshan, we sat outside. Just outside near the darshan. And I was just chanting and everyone was sitting. Practically, there were a busload of people. All my family near and little extended also. All were sitting. And I was chanting, just very happy that everyone could come. And when I opened my eyes, the huge bunch of that Narasingha Kavach, they call that silver pavitra. Narasingha pavitras, the silver where they put the, you hang it or tie it here. A bunch of them, about 50, 60 of them, was kept right in front of me. That pujari from inside had come and placed it. So I just chanted and I suddenly saw this. So I said, I shall offer. And all of them, everyone started coming, offering obeisances and said, tie it. Everyone, automatically, whole family, including my sister's mother-in-law. Very easy. She was so elder and she's offering obeisances and she's not even following this path in Vaishnava, but then she's from a different, this one. Still, she's extended. She said, tie, tight. I said, yeah. I was thinking, how just one thought like that and Lord Narasimhadev had, without my knowledge, you know, did it in a way which had never beyond my imagination, how it can happen. So, I was overwhelmed by that particular incident. Most of them actually accepted, and in that sense actually accepted the mercy of Lord Narasimhadev. So surely if we can make a sincere prayer to increase our service to the Lord, increase our purity so that we can not to become to be glorified as a pure devotee, but so that our service can be pure and pleasing to the Lord. If he asks for the qualities of Prahlad and to remove the Hiranyakashipu mentality from within our heart, I'm sure on this most auspicious day, when he appeared captured by the love for his devotee and anger to destroy these mentality of Hiranyakashipu, surely we will also be benedicted. So we can make that prayer when we have our kirtan. Shri Narasingadev Bhagavan ki Prahlad Maharaj ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi.